Welcome to Not Another Runner Podcast, a running and health related podcast created by a run of the mill, yes, pun intended, everyday runner. Join me for all things running, health and well-being related, for the highs and lows of life, training and chasing goals. This podcast is designed to keep you motivated and enthusiastic on your journey to health and happiness. Every time I run, I discover something new about me and about life, be it a reason why I run or a discovery of myself. I genuinely find gratitude through running. I am able to stay healthy and fit through the execution of my passion, but furthermore, I am able to achieve peace, presence, growth, and discovery. And I love to hear all your stories on how running has changed your lives and what it's brought to you. I want to connect like-minded people through the power of podcast. Hello and welcome back to Not Another Runner Podcast. I just want to say a big thank you for all your lovely messages and for getting in touch since the relaunch of Series 3 last week. It has been so great to hear from you all and to hear that you enjoyed last week's episode with Charlotte Clark. And a few of you also messaged to say what you are feeling grateful for and what you were feeling grateful for last week. So thank you very much for your thoughtful messages. I hope you are all keeping well and this week has been kind to you and you are looking forward to the weekend. I hope you are still managing to find the little things to be grateful for today and this week. And if you are, do let me know, what is it this week? Mine this week has to be the ability to connect with others, be that through the podcast and connecting with you guys and the guests, of course, but also connecting with others on Instagram, Facebook and Clubhouse. I've felt really, really uplifted this week from others. And I'll be honest, I'm feeling really inspired by other people, picking up little ideas and snippets and taking tools along to add to my own toolkit, and just feeling really grateful for that and for the ability to be able to do that. So yeah, it's been great to be able to connect with so many of you, and a big thank you to you all for making me feel really uplifted and inspired. Before we go into today's chat, I just want to say a massive thank you also to Kelly, the guest. What a great chat we had. It is always such a special thing to be able to get a listener onto this podcast. It just feels that much, I don't know, it just feels so special to be able to have someone who's been listening to the show to be able to come on as a guest and then to be able to share their story with other listeners. I had so much fun catching up with Kelly and being able to chat. So a big thank you to Kelly for coming on and being a guest for the show. And okay, if you're listening today, please take a screenshot and share online with me, online via socials, Facebook, Instagram, and let's encourage others to get up and get going. Hello and welcome back to Not Another Runner Podcast. Today's guest is a marathon and ultra runner, a mother of five, and balances and juggles training with her busy family life and also around her diabetes type 1. She is also a very well-known face in the online running community with thousands of followers online and has been featured on the cover of Women's Running Magazine during 2020. Today's guest, and as she already knows, is probably one of the first runners I followed online and was truly inspired by to get up and get going despite obstacles in the way. So I am really excited to welcome to the show, Kelly. Welcome to the show. How are you doing?
Oh yeah, I'm really good, and I'm really excited to talk to you, actually, Natalie.
Oh, mutual feeling.
I know, there's a lot of mutual love going on right now. I love your podcast, and I've loved the guests that you've had on, so I'm super honoured to be on here, and that introduction has made me blush.
honestly, so great to have you, and to be honest, and I've said this to quite a few guests, and I will be saying it to up-and-coming guests, you've been on my list of invitees for such a long time. The list is such a long, long list of inspiring and fabulous runners, and you've definitely been on that list and been waiting to invite you. So when I had the response to say yes, I'll come on, I was like, yes, brilliant.
Yeah. Great news.
always helps. So just to begin with then, Kelly, if you could introduce yourself a little bit by telling us a fact that we may not already know about you.
Oh, that's a good one. Okay, a fact that you may not know is that I used to be a very keen horsewoman. So I used to compete at show jumping when I was a teenager, and spent my life basically just at the yard with horses and stables, and I was the horsey girl.
Do you know what? I've spent the whole of my life being petrified of horses.
No.
Yeah, I think it was more the fact that my mum didn't like them, and I think she was allergic to them. So, but yeah, it's interesting because I didn't know that about you. So that is interesting.
It was always horses for me. Pony club horses, and then I became an adult and it kind of went off the radar a little bit.
It's a very expensive sport. It's actually more expensive than running, definitely when it comes to horses.
Yeah.
If you could describe yourself in one word, what would it be? And what do you think your family and friends would use to describe you in just one word?
Stubborn. Stubborn. Yeah, I am notoriously stubborn, whether it comes to not giving up on things or kind of having my view on something and not budging on it. Stubborn.
That can be quite a good trait as well, though. And I think that's probably what pays off for you and your running and endurance life, that you are stubborn. So it crosses over with being resilient and determined, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. In small doses, in manageable doses, it's really good. But I have got to keep that side of me in check.
Yeah. Matt might not agree, but
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was it that that drew you initially to running? How did you discover the sport, and did you fall in love with it immediately?
I wouldn't say that I fell in love with it immediately. I started just to get fit for a different challenge that I was doing. And I kind of went along to a Couch to 5K program. It was at a local running club, and it was in the evenings, and it was in the winter. And kind of initially I was like, well, this is just hard. I can't even run whatever minute on it was. And I just thought, God, this is hard. My knees hurt. Everything hurts. Why does anybody do this? But quite quickly, I discovered that, you know, the feeling that I had after doing these, I was actually glowing inside and out. And I was just really proud of myself for going along and doing something positive and healthy, because at the time I wasn't doing anything else, to look after myself, my body or my mind. Soon came to love it, but initially I was a bit dubious about it.
And like, if you look back now and like think what running has brought you to your life or brought you in your life, what would you say that is?
Oh, everything. My whole life has changed because of running. It's brought, you know, it's helped me to deal with a lot of issues that I'd held on to, such as finally dealing with kind of grief that I'd held on to from losing my son. So it helped me there. It helped me physically with kind of managing my type 1 diabetes better and taking better care of myself. And it's also changed my life. You know, it's brought me my partner now. I've got another son. It's brought challenges. It's brought friendships. It's brought memories. It's just an everything for me.
So refreshing to hear someone else just use that phrase, you know, it's brought everything to you and how much it's changed your life. And to be honest, you definitely can see that. It's so evident in everything that you share online and, you know, what you've managed to achieve running your marathons, ultra marathons, and this whirlwind that it's brought you, because you've only been running since 2016, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's only been 5 years, which really is quite a short time, you know. But so much has changed in that time. It's just been a complete whirlwind, but absolutely nothing negative from it at all. It's just all been positives.
Yeah. And I think there's quite a few female listeners to this podcast, and even some that may be expecting their first baby or planning. What would you say to anyone listening today in that particular situation with regards to running and feeling like you may lose the sport whilst, you know, planning for a family or even, you know, getting ready to give birth?
Well, I when I first found out I was pregnant, I had the same concerns. I thought, oh, do you know what, how is this going to impact my running? And then I kind of got over it and thought, do you know what, just enjoy this process. Running isn't going anywhere. If you have to take 9 months out because of a pregnancy or coming back postpartum, or a year out, or 18 months, once you're a runner, you are a runner. It's not going to go anywhere. It will always be there. You can always pick it up. So firstly, you know, don't worry about that side of things. But I also presumed that I'd be able to run until pretty much until I gave birth, because, you know, I was a runner and doing it every day pretty much. As it turned out, I ran until I was about 30 weeks pregnant. And even, you know, kind of the weeks leading up to that point, it had just turned into more walking and running. And I just reached a point where I was too uncomfortable, and I thought, do you know what, that's fine. I'm going to hang up the running shoes. And I just stuck to being active in other ways, just doing loads of walking, and actually strength training was a really good one, swimming, biking, things like that, just something to keep active. Just with the view that, you know, I'm stopping running for now, but it will come back. And as long as you take time and look after your body, you listen to your body, then you can come back to it, no issues. You know, and it will be more enjoyable for you if you just think, okay, that's it for now. Let's just accept the break, and look forward to starting the journey of coming back. Because when you come back postpartum, that's another journey, and it's exciting, and you can set yourself new goals. It's a new thing. And it's a process that you can go through, which, you know, you can only get positives out of that process, because it's something you haven't done before. So it's a new challenge. It's difficult at times, but it's also really invigorating, kind of getting your body back, getting yourself back as well. So it's just trying to kind of not panic about not being able to run, just kind of find something else that you enjoy. You may be able to run. I know plenty of women that have run up until pretty much the day before they've given birth. You may not be able to. You don't know how your body's going to react. So you just got to kind of try and relax and enjoy the journey, both sides of it.
That's such a brilliant answer. So very descriptive. And I know, you know, I've got friends who are, you know, due to give birth in the early days of being pregnant as well. And I know one of the listeners is as well. So it is, I'm so glad I've been able to ask you that question, that you could so put it in such brilliant words. And I think it's so easy to, number one, when we come down with an injury and or, you know, be faced in a situation like that during our life, you know, during that sort of phase, to feel like we might be losing the sport. But it's such a great reminder to us all that we, you know, don't lose it. It's still there. It will be there. And, you know, that's not forever. And it's having that exciting feeling of when you are able to return to it. I definitely feel like that is what I'm harnessing at the moment with being injured, is thinking, oh, you know, that day when it does come is going to be just so great. And I cannot wait to, you know, open that Couch to 5K up and just start from the very beginning.
Yeah, absolutely. And then you'll be on another journey. It's a new chapter in your journey, your comeback. And, you know, when you do finally come back, and when you are running and you start finding things tough, like maybe you're doing a session again and you think, actually, hang on, you know, X amount of months ago, I would have loved to have been able to do this session. I would have loved to have been able to put my trainers on and to be able to go outside and run. So enjoy it for what it is. You know, it gives you another strength.
Definitely. And you can speak, you know, having been an injured runner before, I can imagine you are quite well aware of the feelings that come with that. And were there any coping mechanisms that you would use during time of injury, or a new hobby that you discovered?
In a bizarre way, I think, I mean, I have been through quite a few bouts of injury. I think 50% of my time as a runner has been spent running and 50% on the injury bench. But definitely finding a form of cross training or a form of being active that you enjoy. So you might kind of look at how to keep your fitness whilst you're off injured or whatever. It's not about that. It's about still being able to be active, doing something for yourself. So, you know, you might see somewhere that doing aqua jogging, for instance, whilst you've got a stress fracture. You don't necessarily have to do that. You can get on the bike. You might enjoy the pool. You might enjoy the bike. You might enjoy walking. You might enjoy really focusing on strength training. Whatever it is, just throw yourself into that new thing. I like to set goals kind of with my new thing. And one of them has been cycling. So now I still do a lot of cycling. It's cross training because I've picked it up through injury. And whilst I was, you know, doing that through an injury, I would kind of set myself a training plan on something like Zwift or going outside on the bike. But I've enjoyed it that much that now I stick with it. It's not something that I just use for injury, if that makes sense. Mm. So yeah, definitely finding something that you enjoy. It might even be something away from running, but it's something that keeps your mind busy and actually keeps your mind off running, but knowing that you're working towards coming back to running as well.
Yeah, definitely. And it's been amazing actually seeing you get up and, you know, get involved in Zwift and setting yourself challenges. I think it's definitely on the increase within our running community, and it's actually making me contemplate purchasing a bike of some sort.
Yeah, it's good. It is really addictive, actually. Zwift is good. I'm in a bit of a quandary at the moment because the weather's just turned nice and I want to get my road bike out on the roads, but I'm terrified. So yeah. I'm great on the mountain bike, kind of on the trails, but on the road, it just terrifies me. But I also just still like Zwift. So I'm like, well, do I keep the bike on the turbo trainer, even though it's going to be a melting pot in my mum shed, in my bike shed, or do I, you know, take it off and try and get out on the roads now? But I'll probably do a mix of both. But yeah, it is really good. It's really fun, actually, Zwift. And there's a great community. And so many people have taken up during lockdown, which is amazing.
Yeah, I'd seen that the other day, actually. The increase in Strava activity, so whether that's walking, yoga, well, even a home workout, has increased by, I think it was over 100% or something. It was crazy. And the thing is, because the gyms are closed, aren't they? So everyone's turning into having to improvise, whether that is, you know, within their household or it's taking themselves out and, you know, walking or jogging or cycling. It's been crazy.
Yeah, it's great. I think there's so many forms of kind of cross training you can do, which is so good. Walking's another one. I know that you do a lot of walking, and I'm a keen walker as well, and I love kind of just going out for a walk as well. That's something nice. It's a bit slower pace, and just kind of, again, you can set yourself goals when you're walking. I try and vary my pace when I'm walking like I would with my running, but yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, someone said to me before, if and when you're injured, if you're walking, you know, to do a bit of a fartlek session with your walking. So, you know, ramp up the speed and really, really, you know, give it your all. And then, and you know, obviously then pull it back and then start again. And, you know, don't start again until you're fully recovered. But she said, honestly, it can really help your fitness. And she was telling me to do that. I've stopped doing all of those sorts of things right now. I'm hoping to get back to it in the next couple of weeks because the pain was just too bad and the physio was saying, look, you need to
take a step back.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all. And you know, I'm a firm believer in sometimes, more often than not actually, you need to take a step back in order to move forward.
In all aspects of that word and phrase. Definitely for all aspects of life, really, not just sport and chasing girls with running. Talking of chasing girls, that was a great on. I want to talk more about your up and coming girl that you've shared with everyone online. Does it bring you like nervous butterflies in your stomach just talking about it?
It does. I'm excited for it. I'm really excited for it. I'm more nervous about the fact that I've put it out there, and I feel like I've got hundreds of eyes on me, like waiting and watching and seeing what I'm doing. But yeah, it's really exciting for me, this one.
So just tell us, what is it you're doing, Kelly?
So I am trying to qualify for Boston Marathon, but I've kind of given myself quite a short time frame to do it because I've got a massive chunk to take off my marathon PB. And when I say it out loud, it sounds a little bit kind of, what are you doing? But my current PB is 4:43 for the marathon. And I have to get down to qualify for Boston for my age. To be safe, I need to get down to 3:30 for a marathon. And then hopefully I will be qualified to run Boston. But I've given myself a time frame to do it by October this year. Yeah, October. Because I wanted to run it for my firstborn's 16th, what would have been his 16th birthday year, which is next year. So it's quite time dependent to try and do it for that, for those reasons.
Yeah. And 4:43, when was that achieved and in which marathon was that?
That was Manchester Marathon, which I think was 2019. Yeah, it would have been 2019. So quite a while ago, a couple of years ago.
Wait, that marathon, you would have been pregnant, were you?
It was just before I fell pregnant. Wow. I was really
gonna say it.
Yeah, I was probably the fittest I'd ever been, which obviously helped things out. Yeah. I don't know, but yeah, ran a marathon with Matt, and then we found out that I was pregnant a little while later. Yeah.
Okay. So yeah. So 4:43, 2019, and then obviously now set the target for 3:30 by October this year.
Yeah.
Okay. And I mean, just so that we, you know, can picture this, when was it that you'd started running again officially after Harry was born?
I actually started running quite quickly after Harry was born. It was quite bizarre, actually. It was my fourth cesarean section, but it was the one that I healed from the fastest, and the one that I felt really good after, which you don't really say about cesarean sections. They're really tough. You know, it's major surgery on your body, and you're also looking after a newborn and all the rest of it. But yeah, I started running back last year, kind of probably running. Yeah. Sorry, it's Freddie. Freddie's joining in. I was probably back to normal about 12 weeks postpartum, which is quite soon. I'd started that before that with run walk, but kind of with normal mileage about 12 weeks. But so last year I was running really well. However, I did have another stress fracture last October. So that put me out from kind of all of the end of last year, so I've had to kind of start from scratch this year.
Yeah, that is really soon after having a C-section to be up and running, you know, walk running properly, then, like, you know, low mileage from 12 weeks, because I'm sure they advise 8 weeks of no driving even.
They say 6 weeks no driving, but it's kind of, it depends, again, everybody heals differently.
Yeah.
And they advise that you shouldn't be able to drive until you can, I think it's complete an emergency stop in the car or something like that. I think I was probably driving a bit sooner than that.
Thing is, like you were saying, it's, you know, after your fourth, then you felt better than you had in, you know, with the other children. And that's, I wonder, is it because you were in such brilliant shape, you know, so physically active and fit, it probably could have helped with the encouragement of healing?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it was the first pregnancy out of all five of my pregnancies that I was active. And I was active, you know, not necessarily running. As I said before, I was walking a lot. And after Harry was born, I was going out a lot with the pram and walking an awful lot. Some days I took it too far. And, you know, I might ache the next day. So I'd kind of be like, okay, you need to take it back a little bit. Just, you know, stop power walking around for hours on end. You don't need to be doing that just yet. But yeah, I was walking most days. And also I kind of made myself get out quite soon after he was born. Only kind of half an hour walks or whatever it was with the pram. Didn't matter how slow it was just get out and get moving.
Yeah, and get out and have the fresh air, nature, and like you said, just get moving. It doesn't matter what you're doing, but you're moving your body.
Absolutely. And I also think, you know, he was chucked in there with the other children, and when you've got multiple children, it's not like you can just sit down and kind of put your feet up. you're on the go. You know, it's hard with a newborn anyway, but you've got other children as well that are all demanding attention. You've kind of got to get on with it. You've got to suck it up and, yeah, run around and, you know, do the school runs and do dinner and bath times and take them out on bikes and all of that.
Do you ever stop? Because I know, like, looking in yourself and even, you know, Lizzie, that you know as well, mother of four, I look and think, wow, how on earth do you manage all your training and juggling, you know, being mum and, you know, like you've just said, needing to give so much attention to these little ones that, you know, they're asking you all the time. Like, do you ever stop and think, how am I managing this?
No, I'll be really honest, and I think that I like the lifestyle that I have. I like that it's so, it is chaotic. It's absolutely mad. It's madness. But it's so fun. It's so full of bustle and I like that. And I actually find that I'm more productive, being busy. I find the days where maybe it's a bit quieter and I've got space that I'm less productive, and sometimes that's needed. But I kind of thrive off being busy, and the busier it is, the better. You know, sometimes I can be a little bit shattered in the evening, or, you know, and get to the end of the day and kind of like, wow, that went quick. That was a bit full on. Oof, what happened? You know, kind of a bit like you've been hit by something. But I enjoy that. I thrive off that. And I think that comes from being coming from a large family as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've missed a question completely. I want to come back. We were chatting about your big goal now this year, what you've set yourself, coming back from injury, and when you set this goal to be achieved by. So this is obviously in October this year. Yeah. Is this part of an event? Is this going to be a run that you'll go out and do yourself? Because normally with Boston, you know, to qualify, it would have been at an official event. So how will that look?
Yeah, it will still need to be an official event. So I'm kind of relying on races being still going ahead in October. I've actually signed up to numerous marathons to try and make sure that I can get into, UK Athletics race to get the time. Mm. And I've also given myself room that if I don't get it in the first race, which will be Manchester, if it's not quite going right on the day, I mean, you know, pretty early on in a marathon whether you're on for your time or not. So I've kind of, me and Matt discussed it, and we said that if I'm not on for it, or if there's some issue, if I'm not quite feeling right on the day, then we'll just finish it early, call it a long run, recover and go again in 2 weeks, where I've actually double booked for marathons. I've booked Newport and Abingdon. So there's an option there to go again. There's also an option that if Manchester doesn't go ahead, because maybe there's a limit because of field sizes, which is a possibility, maybe the bigger events still won't be able to go ahead, that maybe the smaller ones will be able to. So hopefully there's something in there that I'll be able to turn up to and try and go for this goal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sensible. What is there any mindset approaches that you might be taking, any hacks, any visualizing perhaps?
Oh, do you know what, I visualize so much that I visualize getting that time and just what it means to me, because when I think about it and when I imagine it in my head, I really feel how much it's going to mean. I mean, I know how much it's going to mean, but I can kind of put myself there and feel it. So I think I'm only 12 weeks into this journey, and it is such a big journey, but I've found that the positive mindset and a ridiculous level of self-belief is more helpful than letting any negativity or any self-doubts creep in. I mean, it's quite easy to listen to, I've had a bad few weeks with the running. And as soon as I start talking negatively to myself, it kind of has an impact on the rest of my training. And then it's like this avalanche of, it's all kind of falling down because I'm speaking negatively about it. Whereas when I'm on this positive kind of roll, and when I'm really convinced that I'm going to do this, and kind of like fake it till you make it. There's no way I'm not going to do it. I am going to do it. I am going to be a 3:30 marathoner. When I'm kind of feeling like that, and when it's going, things tend to go better. And, you know, I don't know whether that's just something, you know, my mind's convincing my body to perform better or whatever it is, but it's, yeah, it definitely goes better that way.
There is definitely some science behind it, but I'm no scientific, so I can't.
No, I would love to, I would love to know.
It, but there is, I like you were just saying, and again, there's so many things that you say, Kelly, and I'm always nodding my head in agreement. Like, yes, that's exactly what I think. When you were saying about the talking negatively and how that can become an avalanche, it's so, so true. Yeah. It's so true. And I remember posting before about how many thousands of thoughts that we naturally have in our head each day from our subconscious, and how most or many of them are negative. And so we have to really exercise our mind, our brain, in order to deter those negative thoughts away and welcome in the positive thoughts. And it can be really difficult. And I noticed that in myself. I'm quite a naturally negative person, so I have to really work to be positive. As soon as I have one negative thought, that's it. Ten will follow. And I could be in a right grump for the rest of the day and a week. So, like you just said, having those positive thoughts and or, you know, positive mindset and visualizing can be so helpful to be conducive for that day and for the week ahead, for training especially.
Absolutely. And I mean, it is, and it, like you just said, it's something that you kind of, you have to work at. You know, I can be the same. I can kind of go on these negative things and start thinking that way. But it's harder almost to kind of switch that mindset around and to turn it into a positive mindset. And that's, I guess, when we all crack that, then, you know, we'll all be much happier. But it's hard work to turn it around sometimes, especially if you do feel kind of like everything is stacking up against you. But I find that just trying to focus on one positive, no matter how small it is, focus on that positive. And then from that positive, another positive comes, and just keep focusing on it, no matter how difficult it is, just really kind of zoom in on them and hold them in your head.
Is that something that you tend to do whilst training, whilst running, or is it just any time of the day?
I do have to do it any time of the day. I have to apply it kind of in training, in life. You know, even something like, say, if my diabetes is playing up and it's not playing ball, then try and think about something positive that's happened with that. You know, when was the time where my blood sugars were in control, or, you know, with the training? Yeah, it's something that, you know, I'm still learning to do. But I think a lot of the time you can also think, you know, it's not as bad as that time when. There's always a worse time as well. So that even that can be turned into a positive. Well, it's not as bad as this time. It might turn out to be bad at some point. But
That's true. And we were talking about, you know, positive mindset and, you know, combating the negativity and or negative thoughts that come to our head. So one question I like to ask guests nowadays is, how do you encourage yourself or motivate yourself to get up and get going when you might not feel like it?
I think motivation's hard because it can dip, it can go high. Relying on motivation is really hard, but I really think about my reason why I want to run. Why am I doing this? And if the reason that you're doing it is personal to you and it's important to you, then that will make you get out and do whatever it is you're supposed to do that day. So there's, you know, some days where, especially long runs, I tend to kind of procrastinate a little bit, and motivation might not be high to go out and do them sometimes. But I always think about my reason why, and I'm, you know, for now, my reason why is my, you know, my firstborn son, and how he drives me to want to do better, and that I'm doing this to do something for him. So then I'm like, you know, you got to get out now, you got to go do it because of this reason. So making sure that your why is really personal, really relevant to you, will definitely help you get out and get it done.
Love that, because I always come back to that why, so important. And I was talking about it today on another platform. So yeah, love that reason, and that tactic that you use to get up and get going. Is there anything that motivates and inspires you to pursue your goals?
I think seeing social media is such a great platform now, and you see so many other inspirational runners, that there's just a whole array of people in the running community where you look at them and you think, oh my God, you're doing incredible things, and wow, you've battled this, or you're doing this, and like, that's really inspiring to me. I would say my children, but they're actually not that bothered. I think a lot of people expect me to say, oh, you know, why are you doing it? You're doing it. A lot of people might think that, say, oh, I'm doing it for my children. But okay, they might see me being active, and they might see me not giving up and doing this. And one day that will feature somewhere in their life, whether they, you know, it changes how they view things or whatever. But I wouldn't say that it makes me want to run for them, because I'm just kind of doing what I'm doing, and hopefully, you know, they're learning something from it.
Yeah. It's funny because, you know, that question gets people, like, they have to really think, you know, what is it that is currently motivating and inspiring me? And I think, like, I even now would probably answer that differently to how I did 12 months ago. And what motivates and inspires me is perhaps nothing running related at all. Mm. But it still could motivate and inspire me to get up and be the best person that I could possibly be by moving my body, exercising, and feeling better within myself, so that I'm, you know, a better person when I turn up. It's a really difficult question to be able to answer.
It is, but it's very similar as well to your reason why. I think our whys change through different stages of us, you know, being runners. Like, when my personal reason and my very deep reason for wanting to get out the door when I started running was to get fit, but that's not my reason now. My reason now is a goal inspired by something else, and next year my reason why might be something different again. I think it's an evolving thing, and on our journeys, and it constantly changes. The same with inspiration too.
Could not agree with you more. I was literally nodding my head in agreement again, because this morning, believe it or not, I was on Clubhouse talking to a couple of other runners and, or, you know, people in other fields as well, and sharing about accountability and how, you know, you've got to have that reason why, or, you know, your mission or your purpose, in order to hold yourself accountable. It's got to really be aligned with what you want to achieve and, you know, your values as a person. But it's okay as well if that mission of yours will change and your reason why completely changes and you change direction. Because as human beings, we forever evolve and, you know, move along with life, and with that, so do our reasons. Yeah. As to why we're doing something. So yeah, I love that.
Absolutely, yeah.
What I wanted to ask, because you've just touched on social media and how it can be, you know, forever inspiring. There's so many runners out there that, you know, obviously yourself, Kelly, you are such a big face in the running community online. What made you want to document your running story online initially?
Do you know what? It was actually, I felt like I was boring people on Facebook. So I was like, do you know, oh, Instagram, that's for pictures. I like taking pictures. Let's just start sharing it on there. But so Instagram kind of started as more of a personal thing. And then as I started running, I was just sharing what I was doing and being very kind of just upfront about it. And like, this is what I've done. You know, whether I found it good, whether I found it bad, or whatever it was, but just, yeah, take it away from Facebook. I don't actually post much running now on my personal Facebook at all. It's all just children and that kind of stuff. But yeah, just to to show the ins and outs of what I was doing. It wasn't even really for anybody else. It was kind of like document my own journey. So the fact that my Instagram account grew in a massive way, and people were so on board of what I was doing and following along on different journeys that I was going through. It still blows my mind today. It really does.
You've answered my question for me. I was going to say, did you ever, you know, foresee what that would become?
Yeah, like, not in a million years.
How much that would grow. And, you know, the opportunities it's brought you as well. And, you know, obviously you've met Matt through the running community online and, you know, becoming ASICS. Yeah, just...
I've had some amazing opportunities. Running has really brought me so much. You know, I've travelled with ASICS Frontrunner and had an amazing time with my time as a frontrunner. You know, I went to Amsterdam, I went to Paris, really wonderful experiences. And of course, the UK weekends and things like that. It's just, yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, Matt and I met. It's just... It's been life changing, but it's something that I really had said to me, kind of when I started posting these pictures on Instagram that were kind of getting 20 likes because I posted a shot of my trainers on, after trying to do another bit of Coach to 5K or whatever. If you'd have said to me that this is where I would end up or where I would be on my journey, I would have laughed about it. I still laugh about it now. I really do.
What would you say your proudest achievement has been during the time, you know, you've started running then? So if, like a running related achievement, should we say?
Definitely my ultra marathons. It was a baptism of fire. I didn't train for it, really. Not at all.
How did you manage to get around without training?
Well, I actually had a coach at the time. And I don't think they really knew how to deal with ultra runners. So when I turned around and said, I want to do an ultra marathon, I was also coming back from, I think it might have been a stress fracture then. And they were quite wary. So kind of they were setting me long runs of 6 miles a week. And I was getting quite apprehensive about it. I was thinking, you know, this ultra marathon's coming up. I'm doing 53 miles in one go. I'm at the moment, I'm out for an hour maximum on my feet. This isn't going to work. So I kind of turned around to my coach at the time and said, okay, well, there's a trail marathon this weekend, so I'm just going to go and do that. Is that okay? And they kind of said to me, no, that's not okay. You shouldn't be doing that. I was like, I'm just going to run, walk it, you know, like I would with the marathon, with the ultra marathon. So, yeah, I entered this trail marathon and did that. And another 22-mile, I think, like run, walk, hike thing beforehand. But the trail marathon was hilarious because I was the only it's my one and only win as a I came first female because I was the only woman who actually took it on that day because it was so hot they cancelled it.
How many miles was that race, Kelly?
That was a trail. So that was a marathon.
Marathon. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So I decided to go and do that as a warm up just to see if I can spend that time on my feet. You know, I know the ultra was going to be a lot more. But yeah, I kind of had to take matters into my own hands, but that was all I did really. And then did this trail marathon, this ultra marathon, which was just absolutely amazing. It was just, oh, I absolutely loved it. I loved everything about it, even crying, kind of storying, walking through fields and stuff, crying and talking to trees and all the emotions that you go through on an ultra marathon. You know, kind of reaching the pit stops and thinking, I can't move from here. But I did that and then I can't remember how it came about now, but I ended up doing another one 2 weeks later, the same distance. And I was faster on that one despite spending time in a pit stop, getting my hand bandaged up for best part of an hour. It was just like, and now I think about it and I think I did two 53 mile ultras kind of back to back over a couple of weeks. That's pretty cool.
That is pretty cool, considering what you were just saying, that you didn't, you know, felt like you didn't do much training for it. I can't imagine that. No, we wouldn't recommend it. And I'm sure Matt wouldn't either as a coach.
No, not at all.
Wouldn't be doing that now. Do you see yourself doing more ultramarathons in the future?
Yeah, absolutely. I think ultramarathons are kind of where my heart lies. But I do... also feel like now's the time for me to try and get first on the roads and then go back to ultras. I've got plenty of time. Like I said to you before, you know, when you're pregnant or injured, once you're a runner, you're always a runner. So you have got time to come back to it. And it's the same with distances. So for me, just ultra marathons are just on the pause for a little bit, get first on the roads, or fast for me. Then go back to the ultras, because there's so many that I want to do, and things like UTMB and CCC, Western States, you know, all of those I really would love to do.
Western States, wow. Let's talk about that. You want to do Western States?
I do, yeah, I really do. And I was actually talking about it with Matt the other day. He said, what do you want to do for your 40th? I said, run Western States.
I mean, to be honest, I don't mean to be shocked as if to say, oh, I would never, because that, watching Life in a Day, have you watched that?
Yeah.
Oh my God.
I love it.
And do you know what? This is literally just as I started running. So I watched this Life in a Day, I was like, wow. Yeah. This is what I need to be doing. Endurance running. Like, get me a half marathon now. Like, and I think I'd only just done like a couple of 5Ks, but I was like, right, running is my jam. This looks amazing. Yeah.
And it is. And I think that's the thing with endurance running. It really, it just fires you up. Yeah.
Mm. I think there's something about it, isn't it? That, you know, you could feel, you know, elated, but awful as well in some elements and some aspects, still overcome those obstacles, get to the finish line, and you just feel that sense of victory and accomplishment. It's like no better feeling.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, after any marathon, ultra marathon, you're absolutely spent physically and mentally, and, you know, you're broken for like a week afterwards. You're hobbling around and you're doing all of this, but the sense of achievement and the sense of pride, and actually kind of going through all of those highs and lows in that race or whatever event it is that you've done, it's just something that is always there, and you can always just, I love that feeling. I miss that feeling actually right now talking about it.
Yeah, definitely. And what would you say it takes to be an endurance runner?
I think anybody could be an endurance runner. I don't think you need anything specific. I just think you need to have a want to do it. If you want to do it, you can do it. You know, if you're doing it for any reason other than because you want to do it, then you're not going to enjoy it or get anything from it. And, you know, there can be cases of that. But I think generally, if you're signing up for something or you're doing something, then it's because you want to do it. So, yeah.
I want to ask you as well about the run with that you've set up recently, how that's going and how you're enjoying it. And how did the idea come to you?
I just love talking running. And I don't know if you can tell. You know, I love the running community, and I love being in a position where I can share stories from the running community. And actually, you know, with Run With, I wanted something a bit different, so kind of like a face-to-face thing, because I think sometimes it's interesting seeing how people react to kind of like facial features or how body language changes or anything like that, but having those conversations, but also opening up conversations with. There have been quite a few elite runners in Run With, because a lot of the elite runners, their stories aren't well known. They're not well known, but okay, they might be really, really fast. They're really talented and they work hard and it's their career, but they actually have the same kind of things going on as we do as runners, as normal people. Say normal, you know. I'm a normal runner. Everybody else is a normal runner if you're not elite and you're not, you know. But sharing stories like that and actually seeing that you can have a talent for something but still be kind of, you know, worrying about a long run or their stories of how they started getting into running. I just find it really inspiring at how some of these journeys have evolved. But there are lots of other guests. There's lots coming up now in April and May. Kind of getting back to it because lockdown kind of put a little bit of a dampener on it. It wasn't kind of, I didn't want it all to be over Zoom. Like I said, I liked the face-to-face thing. I'm very, you know, that's how I like to talk, I guess. But yeah, it's really, really exciting. And to be able to be in a position to be able to share these stories and these, you know, and bits of advice from, I mean, you know, Ali Dixon gives amazing advice on it, and she's an Olympian, you know, she's great, and she's so down to earth. And this is the thing, there's so many guests and they're so down to earth, every one of them. I don't think I've interviewed anybody yet that I thought was, you know, a little bit stuck up or thought they were above anybody else.
Well, that's always great to hear, because when you're doing an interview, that's, yeah, you want to be able to feel comfortable. And that was one question I wanted to ask you, as it was a new field that you'd gone down a new avenue. Have you ever felt nervous ahead of interviewing? Have you ever flustered?
Yeah. Yeah, all the time. And I still do now, you know, I did an interview with Seth James Damore, and he's a great guy. He's really, really good. But we got 20 minutes. I was already nervous interviewing him anyway, and this is his second series of Run With, but I was nervous, and I was, because he's, you know, he's a big YouTuber. He's somebody that I've looked up to, and he's great with his running and all the rest of it. But we get like 20 minutes into the interview, and I realize that it's not recording. And like that first 20 minutes was golden. It was amazing. And Seth was kind of like in the middle of an answer, and I had to kind of say, Seth, I'm really sorry, but this isn't recording. Oh, I was so flustered.
He was fine about it.
Oh, he was an absolute gentleman about it. He was a great guy, and he kind of like took off his jacket, like, right, okay, let's start again. Let's just go again. You know, we're getting down to business now. I'm going to take off my jacket. But it's also something that, I felt incredibly nervous about doing, and I didn't really know where to start, but it was one of those things that, do you know what? Let's just learn on the job. Let's just start it. The only way you're going to find out what to do, how to do it, to feel more comfortable, is by doing it. And it's the same with lots of other things in life.
So true. So true. And I'm thinking of a phrase, and I can't, it's at the tip of my tongue, that one of, you know, why would, it's something to do with being perfect, but like, you're not, like, why would you wait for a perfect, do you know what I mean?
I
have to look that up, because that's going to bug me.
I do know what you mean, but I can't think of it.
Yeah, someone, I think, do you know what? I think actually it was a podcast host who said it to me, that, well, why are you waiting for that, you know, perfect moment? Why wait? You know, if you start now, imagine where you could be 12 weeks down the line, 1 year down the line, as opposed to if you started 1 year down the line. And I was like, wow, I've never thought of it like that, like ever. Because I think sometimes we're so guilty of waiting for a right moment, but there's never going to be a totally right moment for anything.
No, and if you wait anything in life, if you wait for it to be totally perfect, it probably never will happen. Nothing is perfect. Nothing should be perfect. You know, perfection is, in my eyes, it's a myth. It doesn't exist. But yeah, you know, you could say, it's like saying, you know, I'm not going to run a 5K time trial until I'm in perfect shape. Well, you could wait until you're in perfect shape and then do your 5K time trial, and it'll still go wrong. So, you know,
absolutely,
then you've wasted all of that time waiting for something to be perfect, where you could have just been experiencing it, living it in that time.
And what do you think is like the biggest takeaway that you've had so far with the Run With, on, you know, with your YouTube channel, or, you know, the biggest lesson that you perhaps have learned since doing that?
I mean, there's been lots of kind of useful training advice and stuff. But I think probably the biggest takeaway that I've found, like, overall, is just how universal running is, and it doesn't matter your level. All that matters is that you run and you enjoy running. And yeah, even, you know, kind of some of these speedy guys and stuff, that they have a love for running, and that's, you know, something that we all share. We all have that bond.
Love that, because that's something that I really work hard to try and encourage via this space, is how universal it is. And, you know, you've said it quite a few times during this interview about, you know, once you're a runner, you're always a runner, and it is so true. And it really does not matter what experience you've got, what ability you've got, if you're putting your trainers on, you're heading out there, whether you're what they call jeffing or walk running, jogging, plodding, whatever you want to call it, like whatever you're doing, you know, if you're running, you are a runner.
Yeah, and absolutely.
So important to remember. I love that.
And I mean, you just look at, you know, myself and Matt. Matt is, you know, he's sub elite. He will be elite one day, no doubt. But he, you know, his 5K time is half the time of my 5K time. But he wouldn't think twice of running with me or with anybody else at my level, or, you know, even somebody walking parkrun or whatever. He wouldn't think twice. He wouldn't, if somebody said, you know, will you go run with me like I do? Will you come up for a run with me? He's not like, oh, you know, well, no, you're not my standard. I'm not going to come out. He's like, yeah, of course. Let's go for a run. Let's go. You know, no thought about it. No snobbery in there or anything like that. Obviously, sometimes it doesn't work for his training, but yeah.
Yeah, love that. Love that. I have to ask, are there any additional goals or dreams that you've got and you haven't shared? I know you've shared a couple today, but are there any more?
Not at the moment. I think, yeah, I mean, like I think I said to you, like Western States and UTMB and stuff. UTMB is a big
UTMB,
one.
UTMB, yes.
Yeah. I did try for the ballot for CCC for, you know, a year, and then I fell pregnant, and then I thought I was going to do it straight away because you get a 50% ballot the year after. But also I would just like to go along to Chamonix and experience UTMB, just go. It'd almost be a great kind of little holiday for, you know, get a big group of us to go. And
yes,
the atmosphere is, you know, must be amazing. I've never actually been, but it must be, oh, just,
yeah, because you could go spectate, be a part of the atmosphere and still have like a guided tour, or even, you know, go up yourself,
still get out on
with less
trails.
Pressure.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it sounds amazing. And if you had to live by a quote, what would it be?
Oh, I've got a few. I tell you what I like at the moment is, it always seems impossible until it isn't.
Love that. That's such a good one to remember. It always seems impossible until it isn't. Love that.
It's just very relevant. I think we can put so much, we can limit ourselves so much by just not having belief or thinking that something is beyond you or something, or you'll never be good enough to do this, or you'll never be able to run enough to do this or do this, whatever it is. And I truly do believe that if you can kind of remove that limiting factor and actually just go for it and see what happens, that, you know, that it opens a really big gateway for you.
I do. I love that. I think I have those thoughts all too often, like probably on a daily basis, limiting, you know, beliefs, or like thinking, oh yeah, it's not possible, or I can't do this, I can't do that. Again, it's a negative Nelly mind that comes into play. You have to really fight hard not to let them in. I'd love to hear as well, as a final question, who would, and I know, you know, you listen to the podcast yourself, so this is great to ask you this question. Who would you love to hear on this podcast?
Oh, I'll tell you who I would love. I don't know if you've already had her on.
What's that?
Maybe you have. Carla Molinaro.
No, I haven't. And one of the guests recently has also suggested her.
Yes.
So that's great. That's great.
I think you should definitely get her on. I mean, it's somebody that I would really like to listen to. It's somebody that I'd like to get on run with eventually. But yeah, somebody that I'd really enjoy listening to, I think.
Perfect. Well,
because she likes cake too.
Yes, this is exactly what I'm saying.
So,
yeah, I was recorded. So when this will have aired after, but I've recorded with one of her athletes. So it was her who recommended Carla Molinaro, because she said, "Oh, my coach, I'd love to have my coach."
Yeah.
And she recommends cake, so it's great.
Yeah. Anybody that recommends cake is a winner in my books.
That's
cakes
brilliant.
And donuts or bread.
Yes. If you could just let everyone know where they can go to follow you online, Kelly, and or to connect with you.
So across all of the socials, I am Kellogg's on the run with 1G, Kellogg's and 1G. Nothing to do with the cereal, just a childhood nickname that's now stuck. But yeah, just on YouTube, on Instagram. I am around on Facebook and Twitter, but I don't really go on those much. It's all about YouTube and Instagram.
Perfect. And I just want to thank you very much for your time today. I know you're busy, but it's just been so lovely to sit down and chat with you, Kelly.
Yeah, it has. It's been an absolute pleasure chatting to you. I've really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. Speak soon.
Thank you for having me.
Cheers.
Thank you guys so much for joining today and listening to Not Another Runner podcast. Please tell your friends and family who you think would enjoy the content I'll be sharing. Don't forget you can get in touch with me over on Instagram via Not Another Runner. Let me know your thoughts on the podcast, any suggestions on guests or topics. This is greatly appreciated. send me your questions through as well if you want, and use the hashtag #WhyIRun to be featured. And hey, if you can, hit subscribe to the podcast. This will really help me to be able to give you more. Thank you again, and remember, when you get up and exercise or go for a run, you never regret going, but you always regret not going. Have a great week, guys, and speak soon.